Flash Black Radio is trying to approach health and well-being from a holistic point of view, so we're not just looking at it from the perspective of what you're consuming as far as your diet. We want to make sure that your finances are healthy. We want to make sure that your relationships are healthy. We want to make sure that you are healthy psychologically, physically, spiritually. If it affects the community, we need to talk about it. Finances, let's talk about it. Social issues of the day, let's talk about it. Relationships, let's talk about it. Career paths, how we can better ourselves, how we can better positions for our family, how we can make positions for our families. Let's talk about it. Let's stop beating around the bush and let's get in. Let's get active. Let's get involved. Your diet isn't just what you consume physically. It's what you consume mentally, the conversations you participate in, what you watch on TV, what you listen to on the radio. All of this is a part of your diet, and all of this has an impact on your health and your well-being. Flash Black is a new perspective for a multicolored collective. You are now listening to Flash
Black. You are now listening to Flash Black Radio.
Hello, beautiful people. You are listening to Culture Shock on Flash Black Radio. I am Da Vinci Parks, aka Lee Bennett III, and we are going to be discussing financial health and wellness. This is actually the jumping off point for a series of podcasts focusing specifically on financial health and wellness, how we can get to a better position for ourselves, for our families, and for our community. And I believe that for us to make a change financially that has a large-scale economic impact for our community, we have to first start with ourselves and get our own house in order. The overall theme of this is bettering your finances, yeah? But part one of this podcast, or this series rather, is going to be creating a clearer financial picture. Again, that's creating a clearer financial picture, and there are going to be two parts to this podcast. The first segment is going to be what I like to call jumping in the pool. And to kind of break that down, I'm going to give a quick example, just make a personal reference. I personally, like many people, like to swim. And before I get in the pool, I have this thing that I do. I know that the water is going to be cold. And because I know that the water is going to be cold and it's going to be shocking when I get in to a certain extent, I have this thing where I kind of hem and haw a bit. I don't just jump in. I kind of, you know, I got to do this whole dance where I got to dip my toe in, got to put my hand in the water, splash it around a little bit, get a gauge for the temperature. And I'm going through this entire process and I know how it ends because I've been in enough pools in my lifetime to know that when I get in the pool, it's typically going to be cold. It's going to be one of those things like, oh, that's cold. My body's going to adjust and I'll be fine. And I'll be swimming. And it'll be that whole thing of like, why did I go through that yet again? And then when I get out the pool and I have to get back in maybe half an hour later, I don't have that same thing, even though I've been out of the pool long enough for there to be an effect, for there to be a shock to my system. So I wanted to kind of take that story or take that analogy and apply it to how a lot of people view and approach their personal finances. It's kind of like one of those things like you know that there's going to be some level of discomfort getting into the whole financial thing and getting a better understanding of being more responsible with your finances. And this whole thing, this whole apprehension, you don't want to jump in, but you know you have to, right? So my whole thing is I want to simply encourage you to just jump in the pool, okay? Financially speaking, if there's something that you do not know, you know, hopefully I can shed a lot of light on things. I'm not going to know everything. My goal is to bring people who know things as well, if not better than I do. Because at the end of the day, the goal is for us to enlighten each other and to make ourselves better and make those of around us better. If you're not thinking like that, you need to get on that train, okay? So the first thing I would ask that you do, whenever you listen to any podcast in this series in particular, I want you to remove judgment. So if I'm saying something that strikes a chord, like this is something that would be helpful for you to do, this is something that you need to do if it hasn't been done already, I don't want you to take it like you're being attacked. It's just me and you here right now, okay? I don't want this to feel like an attack. I want this to feel like this is motivation. This is something like, okay, this is just another prompt for me to get it together. This is another opportunity for me to get on point if I'm not on point already in certain areas, okay? So let me be quite honest. I come from a family where my mother and my father divorced before I can remember them together, okay? But they both over time did very well for themselves, okay? They worked extremely hard. They're extremely hard workers, and they actually instilled a lot of that work ethic in me. I sometimes don't necessarily give myself enough in terms of vacation time, enough in terms of breaks, because I'm focused on being a good worker and doing a good job and staying on task. And yeah, right? So although they are very hard workers, they're both very intelligent people, they're both good with their money, and they both have done well for themselves. The irony is, like many families, I didn't have that time where they sat down and showed me how money works. There wasn't that. There wasn't a conversation. I didn't know what the budget was for the household. That wasn't shared. Okay? So this is not just a me thing. This is a very common thing. I know this is a common thing for many Black households, and this is not a stereotyping thing. It's just I've had the conversation with a lot of folks. Okay? I'm not saying every household is this way. I know my household was. Okay? A lot of us weren't shown, so we got out into the world like our parents did, and we kind of just figured things out as we went along. Some of us figured out things faster. Some of us had natural inclinations to be more aggressive or more passive in certain areas, and sometimes that paid off, sometimes that didn't, right? But the main thing is we need to, one, make sure that we are doing all we can to make sure that our finances are where they need to be, and there's so many little things that we can do right now to make our finances better. And that's why I want to say jump in the pool. And if you have somebody that you love that's in the household with you, if you have a significant other that you're living with, spouse, partner, whatever, jump in the pool with them. You need to be on the same page. If you have children, and this is going to be a later podcast when we talk about budgeting, but if you have children, I want to thoroughly encourage you to involve your children in your finances. They don't need to know every bloody detail. You don't need to know all the, if you're close to missing, you know, a bill that's going to, you know, involve you not being able to pay your light bill or pay your gas bill, they don't necessarily need to know that. But it is extremely helpful if they are able to sit down with you and understand how your budget works for the household, at least on a bird's eye view, from a bird's eye view, and that way they can get involved, help them to understand how the finances come in and what you're responsible for paying. If they're understanding of that, or they're able to understand that because you sit down and you have that time with them, one, your family is going to be a little bit stronger, I would think. But more importantly, they're going to have a better respect for money and better respect for your time and what you do for your money, okay? So that is a plus. And on top of that, maybe, you know, that you want to have that kid that just has to have that iPhone because their friends have it. And if maybe you don't have the money right now, if they understand how the budget is working. So this is one of those things, like, you're going to have to check your pride if you want that process to work. But understand that this is for your children. So if you do this when as early as 8 or 9, 10 years old, get them involved, because doing that will help them to be more knowledgeable and experienced when they go out in the world, and they're going to make less mistakes. They're not going to be as inclined to jump out there and apply for credit when they go to a college campus, because that's one of the ways, it's one of the common things that they do, is they, you know, they being the credit card companies, will, you know, set up all these little kiosks and desks with these little giveaways and, hey, sign up for credit. And a lot of people get caught up that way early before they really understand what credit is. So that's a little side spiel. I apologize for ranting a little bit on that. But the main thing I wanted to say is I want you to jump in the pool. In the spirit of jumping in the pool, I had to find some content to go along with what I wanted to speak to. I don't want to just sit here and completely just wing it. I could, because I can speak enough from personal experience and things that I know have worked and things that I've read that have been very beneficial. But I want to get some information that would help substantiate and, you know, go along with what I was doing. And one of the things that I do on a regular basis is I like to read the articles that MSN.com curates, particularly in the areas of sports, finance, and technology. Those are just the things I constantly check. I read Washington Post a lot while I'm at work. If I have a little bit of time, I can get like information very quickly. If I have like, you know, I just need to take a break from my eyes because I've been looking at spreadsheets or building forms or whatever I'm doing for the day. Sometimes I need to just take my eyes off of what I'm doing and just get a quick break to reset, because that's what I need to do for my own visual health. So I'll read all these different articles, and it's an opportunity to feed myself, right? So one of the articles that I came across while I was coming up with my own content and writing down notes of what I wanted to discuss in my first few podcasts was an article that flashed across in the images that come up on MSN.com when they're actually cycling towards the top. So this wasn't buried in the financial section. This was actually flashed up on the top, and it said, how to improve your finances in 14 days, or something around those lines. Now, this was on MSN.com, but the people who created the article, I believe, was Business Insider. I'll post the link to this particular article, so you'll be able to find it if you're curious in finding it. And I was intrigued, because, you know, a lot of times we say get rich fast or lose weight in 10 days or anything when it puts this short time frame on something, it kind of gets me curious. So I checked the article out when I had a bit of free time. I might have saved it and looked at it later. But I wanted to see what they were suggesting in terms of making your finances better in 14 days. And here's my assessment. While I believe the content within this particular article was very helpful, factual, and beneficial, I believe that the approach is flawed. And the reason why I believe that the approach is flawed is going back to why I said just jump in the pool already. The reason why I believe the approach is flawed is because if you know you need to make an improvement within yourself or something that you're doing, but you need to take 14 days to do it, and you haven't made any steps to that point to make that change or to start making that change, there's a great likelihood that you're not going to do it over that 14 days. You might start off, okay? You might start off, you know, with good intentions, and after the first or second or maybe third day, you might lose interest, or you might got other things to do, you get busy. So again, I thought the information was good, but I thought it dragged certain things out that didn't need to be dragged out, and the things that could have been done in a matter of minutes as opposed to saying that you need to take a day to do it. So point in case, day number one was doing something that they called finding your 90-day number. And that simply is taking how much you earn over the course of 90 days and subtracting how much you spend from how much you earn. Now, I know I said that very simply because honestly, it is simple. Now, look, if you haven't done this already, it's something that you need to do. We're taking judgment away. I'm not trying to wag my finger at you. Just saying, if you want to make your finances better, if you want to have a better understanding of how to improve your finances, what your finances are doing, what you need to do to tweak things, you have to first take the step of knowing what it is you're doing with your money. And people, and when I say people, I just mean people in general, tend to just kind of just go along to get along. You get paid and you have a couple bills, you pay your bills, and then you just spend money just in between, you know, buying the stuff that you want. Maybe you save a little bit, maybe you don't. But a lot of times people don't have an actual roadmap or guide to help them. And that guide would be a budget. But before you establish a budget, the first thing you can find out is how much you're spending and how much you're making. The how much you're making part should be pretty easy. A lot of us are working one, maybe two, some of us more than two, but a lot of us are working one or two jobs. So if you're making $1,500 a month on one job and maybe another $500 on another job, we're just going to try to keep the numbers really even. That would be $2,000 a month. Multiply that by three, you have $6,000, right? So you have $6,000 in this hypothetical scenario that you're making after taxes, then that's important. So you're making $2,000 after taxes per month, which comes up to $6,000 after 90 days. Okay. And we're going to just imagine, we're going to throw out an imaginary number. We're going to say that you're spending $1,500 on living expenses. And those living expenses, we're going to keep it super simple. So we're going to say rent is going to be a large part of that. We're going to say maybe you have a car note, maybe it's transportation, but we'll say transportation is factored in there. If there's an insurance, that's a part of that in terms of like if you have a car, then you need to be paying an insurance on it. So there's that. Utilities and food, you know, basic living expenses. So we're going to say all that magically wraps up to $1,500. That leaves you with $500 at the end of each month or $1,500 at the end of 90 days. Now, in this particular scenario, you have $1,500 over 3 months to spend. That can go very quickly depending upon your lifestyle. So that's not necessarily a great amount of money. But the positive thing is, at least in this scenario, this hypothetical person is not in the negative. Okay. They're not in arrears. They're not in debt, right? So that's important. And that's a positive. The fact of the matter is, though, that, you know, that's $1,500 before all the other stuff comes in. So that's $1,500 before happy hour with friends or taking your significant other out, maybe for a nice date, you know, where you go to a restaurant and go to a movie. You know, restaurant and movie can easily run you, you know, anywhere between 50 and 100 bucks. You know, don't talk about concessions at the theater. So this is before you actually start spending your money. So that $500 per month that comes up to $1,500 at the end of 90 days is what you would call discretionary income. Okay, so if you're not familiar with that term, discretionary income is essentially the money that you have to spend after there are no more obligations for your money. So this money is not tied to anything. This is not money that you have to spend on rent. It's not money you have to spend on a car note or car insurance or electricity or gas or whatever other utilities you may have. This is money that's not earmarked for anything. Now, out of that hypothetical $1,500, I didn't even get into having savings. I didn't even get into maybe having an after-tax retirement plan or having an emergency like rainy day fund. I didn't get into any of that, okay? So we're just saying that they have $1,500 at the end of the month. So that's how you get your 90-day number. Now, the fact of the matter is that honestly, it does not take you a day to do that, okay? And this is something that can be done, I would say, in 20 minutes. Now, look, that's how fast I think I would be able to do that. Actually, I think I would be able to do it in less, to be honest. But if it takes you half an hour or 45 minutes, that's fine. The fact of the matter is that you just need to do it if it hasn't been done already. And if you haven't done it in a while, do it now. Because like your numbers change. If you just changed jobs maybe a couple months ago and you haven't reworked your numbers, it's a good time to do that. Every time you change jobs or go into a new work situation or get a raise, you need to rework your numbers and know what your income is looking like, you know? So that's getting your 90-day number. And that was just the first day of this 14-day plan. Again, it's a good thing to do, but you don't need a whole day to do it. So I want, you know, if you're going to look at this 14-day plan, because I'm going to provide the link, remember that this is not something that you should just, you know, that's it for the day. I've done that. Oh, good job, and pat yourself on the back. You can do more. So I'm going to go to day two and then we're going to stop at day two because, again, this is stuff that does not need to take an entire day. Okay. The second suggestion or the second day is they advise that you get some type of tool or use some type of tool to manage your finances. Okay. And this is going to help you get a clearer financial picture. Okay. So again, this is going into the second part of this podcast now. So we've got how you get your 90-day number, and we've already discussed a little bit about leading into creating a budget. That's something that's very important, but we're going to have a tool that's going to help you to structure that budget and to look at that budget in a variety of ways. Okay, so you want to have something that you can visually look at your budget, not just something that you should have in your head. So you need a tool or two or 10 for some people, however many, to get your finances in order. And ironically, when I was looking at this article, it suggested two tools The two tools that it suggested were the two that I have been using for years. The first is Microsoft Excel. That wasn't the first one that they mentioned. They actually mentioned Mint first, but I use Microsoft Excel since maybe like 2008. I've been using Microsoft Excel. So we're going to get into Microsoft Excel, but first I'm going to start with Mint. Mint is a free application, and it's actually created by the same folks that bring you QuickBooks and TurboTax. So if you've used QuickBooks or TurboTax, the people behind that is a company called Intuit, and they also provide Mint, MINT.com, okay? Now, Mint is all types of awesome, and I'm saying that I'm not getting any type of money from this or any type of payment from this, at least at the time of this podcast. I have no business dealings with Mint. Now, if they want to, you know, pay me kindly for this, that's great, but I'm just saying, as a user of someone who's used Mint for at least the last, I would say at least 2 years now, I've been using Mint. And I actually knew about it for a couple of years before that, but I was kind of hesitant before I jumped in the pool. See, I brought that back. The first thing you should know about Mint is it is free. Okay, so you have to pay absolutely nothing. You don't have to be a TurboTax user to use it. You don't have to buy QuickBooks or anything like that. You can go to mint.com, M-I-N-T.com. And sign up for free. So this is one of the things they said you do on day two. It's going to take a whole day to sign up for a free account. Basically give your email address and create a user handle or password rather. That's day two, or use Microsoft Excel. Okay. So Mint One, again, is free. It's an application that helps you manage your finances. And how it does this is once you log into this free account, you can then basically feed it your financial banking information. So the places that you bank, say if you bank at Bank of America, you have maybe a mortgage with Bank of America, and you have a checking and savings. So you can feed in your information for that, and it'll pull that in, and it'll bring in your banking history, and it'll bring everything in itemized tabs, so it'll have your transactions. Probably goes back, I think, about a couple of months when it starts off, and then it just keeps a running tab. So you can feed it multiple items that you have from your banking. So if you have a personal business line of credit, if you have a home equity line of credit, if you have a car note, if you have credit union that you're a part of, all the stuff you can feed in there, and it'll pull in all this financial information. And what it does is it helps you to get an understanding of how your money's working. You get it, because what it does, it gives you metrics. It shows you what you're spending on over time, and it creates mini budgets for you. So it basically, when I say mini, I mean M-I-N-I, so miniature budgets. So micro budgets, you have one large budget, obviously, which is the bottom line of how much you're making, how much you're spending. But it also tells you, okay, well, you can say, I only want to spend $200 a month on credit cards. So if you go over that, it's going to notify you and say, hey, well, this month you spent, you know, $230 on credit cards. Normally you spend $189. So just want you to be aware of that, you know? So it's really cool. The other cool thing about Mint, and I don't want to get away from this because I'll forget perhaps, but it's an application again. It's not just something that you put on your smartphone, which you can do. It's on Android and it's on iPhone, but it's actually an apparatus that you can log into, and it's best when you view it on your computer, in my opinion. It gives you a much fuller breakdown of your finances and a better ability to look at how everything is working together, and you have an opportunity to look at things like goals, which unfortunately they don't put in the application, at least in the Android application. I don't have an iPhone, so I can't validate whether or not they actually put that in the iPhone version. I suspect that they don't. It's pretty cool on a tablet as well. You get a little bit more information, a little bit more breakdown with the application on the tablet as opposed to on the phone. But if you want to get everything, if you want to really look at your finances and see how your finances are working, I would suggest every now and then just log into the computer just so you can get that full breakdown, because it has stuff like you can set goals. So if you have a goal that you want to, in a year, take a vacation to Europe, and you know you need to save X amount of dollars, you can track that. You can say, okay, I want to save $6,000 to go to Europe. And then what you can do is you can say it's going to come into this account, and it'll track how much money is in that account, and it'll let you know when you hit that that level, or if you're falling behind, or if you're ahead of schedule. So that's really cool. So basically, if you put more money into your savings account that you're using to build up your travel fund, it'll let you know that, hey, you jumped ahead a little bit. So instead of, you know, paying this thing off or getting this thing ready to be fully funded in October, it'll be ready in August because you put in a really large amount of money this month. So I think that's cool. So there are a lot of things that you can do with Mint. I would suggest signing up for free. You don't have to put in your financial information if you don't want to, if you just want to peruse and see what it offers. It does a lot of cool things on the side. Like, it'll also, if you provide additional information, it'll actually keep track of your credit score on a monthly basis. One credit score, not all three. That's important. We're going to talk about credit scores at a later point. But it also suggests ways for you to save money. So there's a blog where they put in information in terms of how you can create a better budget. It also has an ability to learn. So if you get a paycheck every month and it listed as something funny or wonky, like it gives like the technical jargon that the banks use for what your paycheck is, you can enter in, no, this is my primary paycheck. And it'll ask you, hey, do you want it to, from now on, do you want it to say that this amount and this little weird code, we're just going to translate that and say this is your paycheck? Click the little button that says yes, and it'll do that. You can create tags for financial transactions. You can split transactions. So hypothetically speaking, if you go to a wholesale food club and you buy $100 worth of groceries, but you also renew your membership for $50, that's $150 maybe that's showing up in one transaction. But you can split it and say, well, $50 was for this and $100 was for this. So it's a good way to basically have an online check register. Nobody really uses checkbooks, but they're very helpful in terms of, you know, if you want to have little notes in terms of where your money is going and why. So you can also write notes in there. So Mint, again, has a lot of great features. I feel like I've actually droned on a bit too much about this, and I apologize for that. But again, I think it's a really good application, and it's worth you taking a look. At a later point, I will discuss in another podcast some other apps that I recently learned about that I think also deserve your attention. But for now, I'm going to pivot to the second option, which was Microsoft Excel. I'm not going to spend as much time on Microsoft Excel, only because I believe that there are a lot of people that don't necessarily utilize the full potential of Microsoft Excel and the things you can do in terms of running formulas. Like, when I use Microsoft Excel, I get really geeky and nerdy with it. It started off as basically I entered everything in manually, and I had to make the calculations manually, and that made zero sense to me. So I said, okay, well, I make it so this field automatically calculates this. And now it's to the point where I enter something in and it's pulling from all these different fields and pulling from different workbooks. You can get really like in depth with Microsoft Excel and have a really good overview from month to month of your finances. And that's essentially what I've done. A monthly overview that I've been using again for years. And so I have Mint for the day to day, and it's really cool because, you know, being married, I do share an account with my wife. And there are times where something might go through that maybe we didn't discuss, or maybe I forgot that we discussed it. And it might be a transaction where something's being transferred and I can easily look at, you know, like, oh, that I didn't do that. I can call my wife up, or when I see her when I get home, say, hey, babe, did you make this transfer? And she, oh, yeah, I did it for this. Like, oh, OK, great. So it's good because you get to see, you know, what's going on with your money real time. It's pretty quick and updating. Mint does occasionally have hiccups where it loses connectivity with your various accounts, and you sometimes have to manually reestablish. Sometimes you can just refresh it. So that is a particular drawback of Mint. Microsoft Excel, going back to that, it's as good as you make it, right? So if you know how to use Excel, or if you want to get really basic, you can. But I think it's better when you don't have to manually go through the rigmarole of trying to, you know, figure out calculations. You want to be able to just get in and get the information there as quickly as possible. So that was day two. To recap, day two after day one, finding your 90-day number was signing up for a Mint account and or using Microsoft Excel to start creating your budget, right? So again, if you're just going with the Mint account, that's going online and clicking in mint.com and then creating an account, registering for an account. Once you go in there, you can put in your house information. If you have a house and property, how much it's worth and how much your vehicle's worth and all that other stuff. And it'll come back with all these different things. You can also enter 401ks. So that stuff can take a little bit of time, but actually signing up for a Mint account is literally 15 to 30 seconds, maybe a little more, but that's not a day. So this is what I'm talking about in terms of jumping in the pool. Sometimes when people want to be helpful with something, they try to make it bite-sized, they make it too bite-sized and people can lose interest because it's not enough. It's not satisfying enough to make you maybe feel like you know, or maybe it's overly satisfying. You feel like you did something and then you kind of just don't have that same motivation the next day because you did so much the day before in terms of making that 90-day number. So again, you have the 90-day number establishing that, and you also have Mint and Excel. I'm going to introduce a third option for you. I personally took the time to develop a PDF form. I call it the eFast, and that PDF form essentially does what my Microsoft Excel form does without you having to do a lot of the heavy lifting. So you don't have to enter a whole bunch of formulas in or anything like that. It's really pretty cool. And over time, I'll probably adjust it and tweak it here and there, but it does the basics of what you needed to do. So if you need a quick overview of what your money is looking like from month to month, all you need is your most recent pay stub. You take your most recent pay stub, you take how much you grossed. That's money before taxes. You take that and you enter it into the first field on the form. And then you enter in your tax information. So how much you were taxed for federal taxes, how much you paid in terms of state tax, how much you paid in terms of Social Security, Medicare, if you had any other after tax, like a Roth IRA, or you had accidental death and dismemberment, life insurance policy or something like that, and any pre-tax information would put in as well. Once you enter that information, it's going to kick all that stuff out on the bottom of your form, and then you can just start entering on the second page any expenses you have, and it's broken down by primary residence. If you have a secondary residence for those, maybe they're separated from a spouse. Maybe you're maintaining two households. That's not unheard of. Maybe you have one house where, you know, you live primarily, but sometimes you travel and there's a second house that you go to or second home that you go to and you maintain that as well. And then I also have a spot for investment properties for those who might be renting their property out. And so there are fields that are prefabricated that you can enter stuff into. It calculates basically based upon whether or not you're biweekly or semi-monthly. If you're getting paid biweekly or semi-monthly, which is most people aren't getting paid on a weekly basis, although there are some, but a lot of us are getting paid either we're working 80-hour pay periods or we're working 88-hour pay periods. And that's how a lot of us are getting paid. So if that is your scenario, then you can use that in lieu of having to use Microsoft Excel and save yourself a lot of time if you're not comfortable with designing formulas and all that good stuff. And it works very well. And I'm really happy. It's free of charge. You don't have to pay me anything to use it. If you like it, let me know. If you don't like it, feel free to let me know. But it's there for you to use. So you have Mint, you have Microsoft Excel, and you have the eFast. And that is what we'll use to begin establishing the budget. And that will be the next podcast. So I thank you so much for sticking in there with me and listening. Hopefully there was something of benefit in here for you. If there was not, please stay tuned and listen to the next podcast. Hopefully there will be something in there. But again, this is a series. So right now what I'm doing is I'm trying to make sure I start from the beginning and really lay a solid foundation. Okay, so You know, using terms like discretionary income, not everybody knows what that is, or if they know what it is, they don't know how to necessarily view it or work with it. So discretionary income is one of the biggest things you're going to need to know in terms of dealing with your personal budget. Okay, so we got that. That's the catchword. We got the 90-day number. We got some type of tool out there to help us manage our finances. There are three free tools to do that I recommended. That was also recommended by Business Insider. I will post a link for that. The EFAST will be under tools on the flashblackradio.com website. Feel free to download that at your leisure. And thank you so much again for listening. This is Da Vinci Parks on Culture Shock on Flash Black Radio. Have a blessed day. Peace.